You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
We have made it to Wednesday. That is right, the 27th day of March, 2024. What is going on, everybody? It is DNR right here on 98.7 ESPN. Dave is off. Dan is in alongside my buddy Rick. 800-919-3776, the telephone number. RJ and Ray are along for the ride as well. And we are keeping you company for the next 4 hours. Lot to get to. The NFL conversation certainly has not gone anywhere. We'll have a lot more of that. We are one day away from the start of the Major League Baseball season, at least in the continental United States, as my friend RJ pointed out before the show today. Knicks back in action tonight against another hapless outfit in Toronto. And if you watched the Rangers game last night or listened to it here on 98.7 ESPN, the third period was absolute bonkers. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Daniel. Congratulations to the Rangers. First team to clinch the NHL playoffs.
That is correct.
Good for them. It's great.
Doesn't get you anywhere, though, once the playoffs start. You got to actually then keep winning.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but it is a nice feeling to be, you know, a Rangers fan today knowing that you will be in the playoffs, unlike, you know, my Islanders.
Well, and the thing, too, if you're the Rangers, like, the job isn't done. You got to keep winning because now you got a boost last night. You got a little bit of help from Pittsburgh, of all teams, beating the Carolina Hurricanes. But you got to make sure you fend off the Canes and win that division. And you got the game in hand. You're 3 up on them, but I mean, I was doing the game last night, and Ray was there, and I mean, that third period, I don't think I've seen anything like it in quite some time.
I'll tell you, if you want to see the highlights of this third period, tune into the Cartoon Network.
I didn't check the Cartoon Network this morning, but I don't think Dave Maloney was that far off.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was back and forth. I mean, the fact that they got down 2-0, found a way to, by the way, a couple things. The Trocheck shorthanded goal, that play by Mika was filthy. Getting the puck back to his backhand across the crease, finds Trocheck back post. But then it was kind of just, it was back and forth, pucks behind goalies getting deflected in. Torts looked like just a mess on Philly's bench. But and it's again, Adam Fox in overtime stepping up. It's just, it's interesting. What's interesting about this is just how people feel about the President's Trophy. Like, do you really want the President's Trophy? Like, when you see the history of the teams that have won the President's Trophy?
Yeah.
Do you really want it?
No, I'd much rather have the Vice President's Trophy.
Yeah, listen, so would Aaron Rodgers. Thank God we're not doing that. But this is a really good team, and you're also doing this without... That's the other thing to take into account. You're doing this without two of your best defensemen. And this was without Trouba and without Lindgren, which are two huge pieces of this team.
And you throw in Gustafsson, who didn't play last night.
Right, and they still find a way. And it wasn't pretty. Listen, that third period was not pretty. That's not how you draw it up. But still, find a way to get the 2 points. And you're sitting here right now with the best record in the East.
It really is incredible. And, you know, like we talk about it, you know, on the games with Dave Maloney, you know, our little crosstalk or whatever before the game. Just like with this blue line, as decimated as it's been for the last couple of weeks here. Remember at the trade deadline, there were a lot of Ranger fans. I mean, I took the calls from Ranger fans. They were upset that Chris Drury wasn't more active at the deadline. Maybe go, you know, bigger game hunting, if you will, but instead it was more the depth pieces, you know, the Chad Ruedels of the world on the blue line. And think of how many games it took for Chad Ruedel to even crack this lineup. Well, now you have all these injuries on defense. He's been in there the last few games. I know Zach Jones had the one gaffe last night, but Zach Jones has been playing really well the last handful of games, just stepping up and pitching in. And that's what you need. I mean, you played this game, you know, a long season, it's going to wear on teams. And especially even when you get to the playoffs, I mean, they might have to tap into some of these guys come the postseason too. So the fact that you have so many guys in reserve that you could go to and you feel comfortable with, you got to have confidence if you're a Ranger fan.
Yeah. See, I mean, you're talking about after you get through the 82, trying to make your way through. I mean, it's the most difficult, most physical sport, playoff sport. It's the hardest trophy to win, in my opinion. And to try to get through that, someone's going to get nicked up. Someone's going to get hurt, especially on the defensive side. And you're going to need that kind of depth. Listen, Chris Drury was trying to do what he needed to do to give this team the best opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. They deserve that much. Team's been that good this season. And he answered all the questions. It wasn't the big names. It wasn't the Jake Gensels of the world. But, you know, he found players. I thought Wennberg was a nice fit. Roslovic trying to get that, you know, get that top line going. But when push comes to shove, once you hit the postseason, man, it's, you know, it's the versatility. Like, you see this. You cover the Rangers enough to know, you know, once you get to the playoffs in any professional sport, but especially hockey, what teams are going to try to do to you. I mean, there's seven games. How they decide to play you, to trying to, you know, slow down certain things that you do well, you have to have the versatility in your game. You can play fast. Can you play slow? Can you play physical? Can you commit to playing, you know, a boring game if you have to against, you know, a Carolina Hurricanes team, right? To have that kind of, you know, let's just get pucks deep, and once they make a mistake or once they take a penalty, we'll take advantage that way. You got a great goalie. And once you get Trouba back and you get, you know, Lindgren back, you get really good D. And then the other thing, too, is can Panarin find a way to keep this thing going once we hit the postseason?
That's, you know, important.
Right. You know what teams are going to try to do to him. And that's why it was so important this season to try to get Mika and that line going 5-on-5. Because if you're like, I mean, if you're just going to depend on, hey, let's play, you know, let's play good D, have our goalie stand on his head, and then take advantage of our power play, that's not going to be a recipe to get you through the playoffs. I mean, you'll win some games like that, but you got to find a way to generate some chances. And you see these games against, you know, physical playoff teams that you're going to go against trying to beat, like, you got to be willing to get in the middle of the ice, get in front of the net, get you know, pucks behind their D, traffic in front of these really good goalies. I'll say this too, as we kind of wrap up the whole hockey talk, because I know you want to get into baseball and everything else.
No, we're going to do hockey for the whole first hour.
I love that.
Yeah.
Is this might be the one. Now, it doesn't have to be the President's Trophy. Right now, I mean, right now you have 100 points, and you're the only team at 100 points. But as far as having the best record in the East this season, I think is important. Because if I'm a Rangers fan, I would rather not see the Lightning in the first round.
I agree with you.
I'd like to avoid them. If I'm a Rangers fan, yeah, much better off playing the Capitals or the Red Wings in that first round. But that's just me. Because, yeah, I mean, it looks like you're going to end up seeing Carolina probably in round two.
Right. No, yeah, no, you're 1,000% right. And for whatever reason, Detroit, I mean, ever since Dylan Larkin got hurt, he's back now. But it just seems like they haven't gotten it back on track yet. They just haven't. And you hope that continues for another 10 games or whatnot going into the playoffs. And if you look at the remaining schedule for the Rangers, half the remaining schedule is against the division. You know, it's Devils, Flyers, Islanders. So that's what you have. You got to go out to Colorado on Thursday. You know, that'll be tricky, of course, because it's Colorado.
And that's one of the teams that have a real chance.
What, the Avalanche?
Yeah, to win.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a chance every year, it seems like, for crying out loud. That's one hell of an organization. You got to go play Detroit next week because, you know, that game's going to mean a lot for the Wings. So that could be a little bit dicey. But other than that, I mean, the way the schedule kind of sets up, I mean, by the time you get to those last couple of games of the season, you know, when you play the Islanders, like, those games might not mean anything for them if they're out of it.
Right. I mean, and again, this is all about trying to position yourself to have the best chance to make a run. And for me, if I could avoid Tampa in that first round, I would like to do that. Just now, I mean, you're a better team than Tampa, but I mean, Kucherov is one of the best players in the NHL. Vasilevsky, he scares me. Not only because he's my son's favorite goalie, and he lets everyone know that he's my son's favorite goalie, but I mean, they
now, does he do that out of spite or no?
No. Were you here for the story I told?
No, tell the story.
So we're at hockey practice. So mm-hmm. He makes this. So he has his new hockey team.
Yeah,
and they have their first practice, and it's kind of like a get to know each other. We did our parents' meeting, and then we had, you know, the kids sit around and have pizza afterwards so they could kind of get to know each other. So we decided as coaches that, you know, each kid would stand up. Hi, my name is so-and-so. This is the position I play, my favorite team, my favorite player. So, you know, we start at the end of the table. First guy, you know, hi, my name is Dan. I'm a defenseman. My favorite team is the Islanders, and I like, you know, Adam Pellick. Next guy, we have a Rangers fan, another Islanders fan. And then there's my son. All the parents are in the room. Stands up. My name is Milo. I'm a goalie. My favorite team is. And I'm like, oh, no. What's he going to say? I love the Lightning. And my favorite player is Steven Stamkos. I was like, oh, no. Can't believe he just did that. All the parents started laughing. And I could see when he looked at me, he's like, why are they laughing? And then afterwards, I'm like, he's like, Dad, how come everyone was laughing? I was like, well, you heard what you said, right? He's like, yeah. I said, my favorite team was the Lightning. And my favorite player was Stamkos. I was like, well, that's fine that you like the Lightning. I know you like the Lightning.
Lightning!
I mean, he said Stamkos, you're a goalie. I thought you loved Vasilevsky. He's like, yeah, you know what? I do love Vasilevsky. He's like, I probably could have said you were my favorite player too, couldn't I have? I was like, well, yeah, that would have been, I mean, it would have been a nice thought, but hey, this is your thing. You decide who you like. And all the parents thought it was hilarious that I played for the Islanders and yet his favorite team is the Lightning.
Well, how old was he? Like, he's not old enough to remember when you played, is he? Really?
No, he's not old enough to remember when I played. I mean, he's seen me play like just random stuff, but he's been to a couple charity games that I played in, but he never got a chance to see me play for the Islanders. No.
No, not the real thing. So maybe that would have been a little bit different, but no, he's a kid.
Yeah, you know? But I failed. I mean, I do a radio show with you know, a guy who told his kids that if, you know, Cowboys fans would push them down as little kids. I played for the Islanders and he's gone rogue because of my wife and his favorite team is the Lions. It's embarrassing.
That's bad.
That's a bad look for me.
But I don't think you're a failure by any stretch. I think you're too hard on yourself, personally.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, it's true.
Dave said I was a failure.
Well, because you're working with him. That's why you're a failure, but not when you're working with me, damn it. Doesn't work that way.
See, this is why. You're so supportive.
Doesn't work that way. Well, I have to be now. I have no choice. We're on the same team for the baseball
picks.
Yes,
I knew I was happy I brought you on.
Right? And if you missed that yesterday, Dave or Rick turned me over to the dark side. I'm joining the... Do we have a team name yet or no?
No, I wanted to consult you. I didn't want to just go on my own and make a team name up.
RJ, do we even have team names? Like, is that a... Ray, that's not a thing?
I've not even thought about that, no.
I don't think RJ
has either.
Well, you know, Dave will want to call himself the Giants, and then we'll come up with something much more creative than that.
Can't do that.
I am the Giants.
I'm a Giants guy.
Especially when there's a baseball team called the Giants.
That's right. True.
Right, we got to come up with something nice. This is a big deal.
I mean, what about the Vasilevskys?
No, we don't want to be the Vasilevskys. Good guy, though. He did give my an autograph stick, which is nice.
Do you have any relationship with him? Do you know him?
I do know him.
Yeah?
I do know him a little bit, yeah.
Good guy?
He's a really good guy. He's big, man. These goalies nowadays, dude. I don't even know. Like, when I was out in Vegas doing the shootout stuff, and I got a chance to skate with some of these goalies, too. Like, Ottinger, these guys, they're on a knee next to the post, and they cover the whole net.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Well, because remember, people used to complain, even when you were still playing, that the equipment was too big for the goalies, that it basically covered up the whole damn net. You know, and they wanted everybody to come off of that a little bit because the equipment was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it wasn't fair.
And you know what the answer to that was?
What's that?
We'll make the equipment smaller, but we'll make the goalies will be bigger.
Right.
So the size of the equipment really doesn't matter because the goalies are humongous.
The goalies are basically gone the way of, and I think they have. You know, like, you know, back in the day, you think of goalies like, you know, Chico Resch, Darren Pang, guys who were, you know, like 5'1". And now they've just, like you said, they're gargantuan. It's almost like the place kicker in football. Remember, when we like back in the day, kickers were, you know, that big. And they were essentially like glorified soccer players. And now, you know, these dudes are jacked. Booting 60, 70-yard kicks.
Well, yeah, now they're weapons. But they're also, I mean, everyone's in shape now. Like, no one's come. Like, you see these guys, that's part of the reason that people complain all the time. Why are guys always hurt? Because they train all year round. They're always
in
shape.
Some of them do.
Well, a lot of them. I mean, the good ones do.
I'll tell you, and we got to get into that, and we will a little bit later on in the show here, because, you know, the league wrapping up its annual meetings down there in Florida, and a lot came out of it, and we talked about the Jets and the Giants angles and what the powers that be said regarding those teams, and we'll do a little bit more on the Giants, too, because I think we left some things unturned a little about their future plans. But in particular, the other big story to come out of Florida were those rule changes for the upcoming season. They're banning the hip drop tackle. The kickoff rule is now changing, which you and I think are in agreement on the kickoff rule thing. Like, if it's going to increase the number of returns, that's great because it's an exciting part of the game. But you and I were even saying before that with this hip drop rule that they're banning, can't you see, And I'm just bracing all the football fans now. When we get to the season, you know there's going to come a game where team you're rooting for is on defense. It's fourth down. You need a stop to get off the field with, like, you know, inside of 2 minutes left. You make the big play. You make the tackle. You're celebrating. You're high-fiving your buddies. You think you won the game. And all of a sudden, that yellow flag is going to come flying out of the referee's hands because apparently it was a hip drop tackle. And it's not going to be reviewable. And it's going to give the offense a new lease on life. And I guarantee you they're going to go down the field and win the game. And a team is going to lose because of a bad hip drop tackle call. It's bound to happen.
Well, especially early in the season. Right? I mean, this is what happens early in the season. We were talking about this with the baseball stuff, with the, you know, the play, you know, the play when you're at second base on a steal, where, I mean, we had the Lindor play last week where it's, I mean, this is going to be a point of emphasis. You're not going to like it, but the officials have been told, we're going to try to change the behavior of the players and get this out of the sport, so we're going to make sure we're calling, you know, we're calling every single one of these, even one, you know, even the close ones. What I didn't like about it is I was actually watching some of the plays that they showed to the owners and the people that were, you know, the competition.
Like a demonstration thing, yeah.
Right, like they'll give you the examples. Like we had that all the time. Like the referees will come in and show you what they're going to call. And a couple of them were like, wow, they're going to really call that? You see some of the ones, you're like, well, that's clearly, we're trying to get that out of the game. What I thought was interesting yesterday was Brandon Bean did an interview on McAfee, and they, I guess during the meeting when they were talking about this, said that there are some, it's believed that there are some teams that are coaching their players to tackle like this. And they want to make sure that's not, that doesn't continue. And then he was like, well, did they say which teams? Like, no, I have a hard time believing that there's teams actually teaching players to tackle like this, but it was said that there were a couple teams that are teaching their players to tackle like this, and we want to eliminate that from the sport. But they don't want the, they don't want that. You know, Brandon Bean was talking about it too. He's like, he does, it's hard enough to play defense as it is.
There you go.
Right? And I mean, with all the other rules.
That's the bottom line.
Now you add this, and on top of that, this is not what people want to see. Flags all over the field. They're already doing that, where you, like, something happens, you're just waiting to see the pop-up on the screen flag. Right, like you're holding your breath. Okay, is this going to stand? And then it just slows the game down, and that's not really what, you know, people are interested in watching.
We've been saying this for the last several years. It's almost damn near impossible to be a defensive player and to play defense now in the NFL, and a rule like this just makes it even harder. It makes it even harder. I mean, you watch games now, Rick, and you see guys, I see guys, defenders, that almost look like they're afraid to initiate contact with ball carriers because it's almost like they don't want to get called for a penalty. It's like they're. It's almost like they're afraid to bring these guys down to the ground because God forbid that they get a flag thrown their way.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that's, and again, I think their thought process is they're trying to keep guys healthy, which is, that's the NFL.
Right,
thing.
I get that.
Player safety,
I totally get.
Which I have a hard time believing anyway, but they like to pretend like they're trying to keep the players safe and healthy. But I think the other thing though is they think that they're such good athletes that they'll be able to adapt to the new rules. But when you're right, when you watch some of these, you know, you watch some of these plays happen, you're like, I mean, I don't even know how, as good an athlete as you are, when you're full speed the way these guys are going, like how you can avoid some of these hits that you're getting penalties for anyway.
Absolutely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your level of excitement for the start of this baseball season?
Out of 10?
No, out of 37.
Out of 37? Yeah. If we're going out of 37, I'll give it about a 34.
34? Not like a 34 and a half.
No, 34.
Yeah. A strong 34.
Strong, solid 34, yeah.
Now, what do you think the level of excitement should be for the two fan bases here in this town? And the reason I ask is because it just seems like the last month and a half or so of the offseason, it just doesn't seem like the appetite is there for baseball in this city. Now, the Mets really have had kind of like a lackluster offseason. They made that quite clear. They weren't going to make any big splashy moves. And really, it took until this past weekend when they signed J.D. Martinez. That's probably their splashiest move, and he's not even going to be there on opening day. Yankees, on the other hand, they got their big move out of the way before even the new year with Juan Soto. Other than that, it's kind of, you're just expecting gloom and doom, and then you get the Gerrit Cole news during spring training, and there's still a situation that needs to be resolved with him. I just don't get the buzz with either fan base starting this baseball season. I don't know if I'm alone or not, but that's just how I feel.
No, I don't think you're alone. I think that there's some of the energy with the Yankees has been zapped out of them with the Gerrit Cole injury, kind of not knowing, I mean, what to expect when Gerrit Cole does come back, how much time he's going to miss, and what version of Gerrit Cole you're going to get when he does come back, because the expectations are completely different, right? I mean, Mets have pretty much told you, yes, they would like to make the playoffs. They're not going to win the division. They'd like to be a wild card team. I think there's probably a little bit more excitement now because they went out and signed J.D. Martinez. At least for me, there's some more excitement now that they added J.D. Martinez. A lot of question marks for the starting rotation, but I just think there is so much pressure on this Yankees team because, you know, they're all in, which some Yankees fans would argue, are you really all in when, you know, it's clear once Gerrit Cole, you know, is going to miss time that guys available. I mean, Jordan Montgomery just signed. Blake Snell just signed. That if you were really all in, I mean, wouldn't you go out and, you know, make sure you could solidify that? And they were sniffing around Snell and everything else. But you have the Gerrit Cole stuff. You have, you know, Aaron Judge talking about, you know, managing, having the oblique that popped up. Then talking about managing his, you know, his toe this season. No DJ LeMahieu. So I think some of that injury stuff, those concerns have kind of zapped some of the energy out of the Yankees fans. But I think there's probably also a little bit of nervousness knowing what's at stake this year, right? Because, I mean, this is one year of Soto. Like, if Soto had already, you know, been traded and signed a long-term deal, yeah, I mean, I don't think there would be this much anxiety from Yankees fans, but there's still so much uncertainty. You know, if they don't get it done this year, what happens next season? Like, look at how many guys are going to be free agents after the season for the Yankees.
No, you're right. And that's why I think the 2024 for the Yankees, you can almost make the comparison that it shapes up a lot of what this season will be like for the Jets. That if they don't win, you might have wholesale changes. But we say that we were saying the same thing almost after last year. As spectacular a disaster that was for the Yankees, nothing changed as far as the hierarchy. Nothing.
No, nothing changed.
But 2 years in a row of that, do you think it'll be the same outcome?
Well, no. I mean, RJ sent us the baseball reference prediction for what the Yankees win total this season will be, what their expected win total will be. If it's that, no, you got to fire everybody. I mean, Hal told you, 82-80 was an embarrassment. It is fully expected every year this is a playoff team, and they weren't, because you got the whole thing with the Yankees. Well, get to the playoffs, then it's a crapshoot, which I don't necessarily buy into, but this was supposed to be their reaction to 82-80, which was a disappointing season for them, and they were going to be all in. I still think there are some Yankees fans that question whether or not they're actually all in. Right? Like, I mean, you could use another starting pitcher. You had two really good starting pitchers available, and I understood the whole Snell thing, and then the, you know, paying 110%. Is it worth paying, you know, Snell over $60 million for 1 year? You got the draft picks attached. You got, you know, all the other stuff, the international, you know, pool money, all that stuff attached to it. But, I mean, and then maybe Jordan Montgomery didn't want to be here because of how it ended with the Yankees. But, I mean, a lot of this season, because they're going to be much better offensively. They were bad, especially
with Aaron Judge. Well, if they stay healthy, they have to be better.
They have to be, because they were brutal last year.
And that's going to, and Rick, let's face it, that's going to have to carry them, right? The offense is going to have to carry the Yankees this year.
Yeah, but I think the uncertainty about Gerrit Cole is a big thing. And on top of that, it's just you're always holding your breath as a Yankees fan because of the injury stuff. We always say it, that if healthy. And especially here in New York sports in general. Forget just the Yankee, you know, worrying about the Yankees. Just in New York sports in general, we've been ravaged by huge injuries with every team, it feels like. Right? I mean, my Jets season, kind of the same thing. We're all in. Go, you know, trying to win a Super Bowl, and four plays into it, we lose Aaron Rodgers. Then this Knicks season, mm-hmm. I mean, we're in the midst of a special Knicks season, and one by one, slowly gets, you know, ripped away with all these injuries. So,
What is the black cloud hovering over this city when it comes to injuries?
What can we do? How do we get rid of it?
RJ, can we find a way to get rid of it, please? I don't know if you know anybody to call. Ray, make
sacrifice
a call.
The bucket of KFC. I got no idea.
Yeah, I'll smash just a get rid of chicken. It. Just get rid of it.
Call Buttle. He'll order up all the KFC you need.
Well, how about this? With the, like, we talk about a 82-80, right? Which is what they did last year. What, and maybe this is already looking at it in too much of a pessimistic tone, but, you know, that's what we're here. We might as well do. What if they win, let's say, like Seattle last year, right? The Mariners, they won 88 games, missed the playoffs. It wasn't good enough in the American League. So that's a little bit better than 82-80. So if you know, 88, 89, hell, let's even say you win 90. You win 90 games, but somehow you missed the playoffs because the rest of the American League is that good. Is that grounds enough if you are hell? When you look at this operation and say, I got to make changes, if you win 90 games but still don't make the playoffs?
Wow. I mean, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of Yankees fans that would argue that he's never going to fire Brian Cashman. Right? That Brian Cashman is, until he decides to walk away, will be the general manager of the New York Yankees.
And then what about the manager then? Because you know what? Boone is Cash's handpicked guy.
I understand that. And I think Aaron Boone's a good manager. But, I mean, if this is, you know, Hal has said, like, it's the expectation for this team to make the playoffs, and they don't, and you feel like you have a talented enough team to make the playoffs, I think it also is going to be how, you know, the circumstances involved in the season, right? Why is this not a playoff team? Did they deal with injuries? Did Aaron Judge miss time? I mean, there are a bunch of things that can happen. But they told you they were all in. If your owner says, we're all in, and you don't make the playoffs, I mean, I wouldn't feel safe. If I was the manager of the team.
Look, and I agree with you when I think it almost has to be viewed that way because you're only guaranteed to having Juan Soto for one season. And that's not to say that the Yankees won't pivot. Like, for example, if Juan Soto leaves and let's just say he signs with the Mets, there's still going to be some good players that are out there in free agency where the Yankees are going to be able to still, let's say, that money that they would have had to spend on Soto, go out there and sign other players that are going to help you win. I mean, Judge isn't going anywhere, for example. You still have enough talented guys on this team, but you also then do have a window. And I think it also factors in with Gerrit Cole's pitching mortality a little bit. See, I told somebody this the other day. In light of this Gerrit Cole injury news, do you know what I stumbled upon, which I just like, it didn't even occur to me? Gerrit Cole's 34 years old.
Hey, you didn't know that?
It's something I just never even thought of because, you know, he does his thing year after year and you expect the consistency, but now he's injured. And then you look at a pitcher who's, you know, in his mid-30s and you're thinking to yourself, how many more high-level years does he have left?
Right, you can't afford, I mean, Judge, same thing. You can't afford to waste prime years of these two players that you have locked into these long-term deals that are playing at, you know, Gerrit Cole is the best pitcher in baseball. Aaron Judge is one of the best players, if not, I mean, people make the argument the best player in baseball. Like, you can't afford to waste those years. I think the bigger conversation is if, you know, why would the Yankees lose Juan Soto? Right? Because, I mean, all the Yankees fans want to talk about, you know, just the mystique, the pinstripes, all these different things. You have them in your building.
Yeah.
Right? Why are you going to lose him? Could you imagine if they end up losing Juan Soto because of money?
Wasn't that what it's going to be?
Well, no. I mean, not from what they tell me. From what they tell me is that, you know, he'll be in the building. He'll understand what it means to be a Yankee. Right? Playing in front of the, you know.
Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about that.
Well, I mean, if that's true, and then on top of that, you lose out because the most valuable franchise in Major League Baseball isn't willing to pay what it takes to keep Juan Soto? I don't know. Is that a great look too?
Juan Soto, like, what is he, 25 years old?
Yeah, he's already made it pretty clear that he's going to take the most money.
Of course he is. But think about it. 25 years old, like, I understand Yankees. In Juan Soto's lifetime, what has he seen, even from a distance, the Yankees win? Right? Seriously. He wasn't around for the dynasty in the late 90s. He doesn't remember that. So him, it's only just, he's like, you know, stories and legends of yesteryear that are just like passed down. He don't care. He's going to go where the money is. Like, all that stuff about, you know, like, we used to hear back in the day with the Knicks, like, oh, the Garden, the Mecca, play. Nobody cares about that nowadays. These guys aren't you or me.
All right, so what's their superpower then?
Money. You're going to it's going to come down to the highest bidder.
Okay, well, that used to be their superpower. That used to be the big bad Yankees.
That's a long time ago.
Okay, so if you don't have the mystique now to carry here and you're not willing to spend the most money, well, I mean, what separates you from everyone else? Right, like we had this pivot where it was like Hal didn't want to be his dad. You know, we don't have to buy a championship and we can, you know, we can out Tampa, which you can't do because you're not as smart as Tampa is. And now we're not going to be willing to spend the most money. I don't know, man.
Hell, he might go someplace outside of New York for all we know. We have no idea. All right, let's get some calls up. 800-919-3776. Your concerns for this upcoming baseball season, Mets, Yankees related. We'll get into the Mets side of things, too. And just generally, your appetite for this season. Is it something that you can't wait for? Or do you go into it with almost some dread that, you know, I don't think these teams are going to be very good or they're going to underachieve and we're going to have another miserable baseball summer like we had a year ago, which would be awful on the heels of the football season that we're still trying to come to grips with. DNR on a Wednesday, 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Raymond. Say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tourney. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So whether you're still riding the UConn Huskies to repeat as champs, or maybe you're a believer in NC State, whichever team you like, there's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. Just visit FanDuel.com/Rick and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. Must be 21 and older and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467369.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
The day before opening day, Major League Baseball, still remains to be seen whether or not the Mets are going to be able to give it a go tomorrow. Now they're talking about this window, Rick, the proverbial window with the weather, that there might be a chance to get this game in at some point. But I don't know, opening day, special, the home opener. I think if you're going to inconvenience the fans and everything and you're going to have to like push it back for an undetermined amount of time, just move it to Friday. Like, call it early. Don't make people schlep out there and then not have it go down.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, I mean, what about those people that decided they were going to take off, you know, off work on Thursday?
Take off work Friday.
Why? Just a quick pivot?
Quick pivot.
See if they announce it now. Listen, we're going to move opening day for the Mets.
Say you're
Friday.
Not feeling well. Nah, I can't go. I got to go.
Listen, boss, I was going to take Thursday off. Yeah. How about I work Thursday and give me Friday off?
Well, it's a holiday weekend, too, right? It's Easter weekend.
How about we do that? That'd be nice.
So you're going to observe, you're going to do all that stuff, and then you go to the ballpark.
Listen, not a terrible idea, but I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, that would be, that's, you want people to really have the opportunity to enjoy opening day.
You know what's funny? Yesterday, did you see the Yankees? And every team does this, but the Yankees yesterday had their big day where they invite the media and they displayed all the new food items that are going to be on the menu this year at Yankee Stadium.
I did see that.
And it's like a free taste testing. So you have like the hordes of media show up to the ballpark essentially for a free lunch. That's what it is, right? You get to sit there and hobnob and you get to pick and choose and eat whatever you want and not have to pay a dime. It's fantastic. It's like it's the greatest thing probably on the media calendar that you can do. And it's funny, the same cast of characters always show up to each and every one of these because you know what? If it's free food, I'm there. And of course, some of these media people, we get bad reputations as it is.
The media love free food.
That right. Was actually food plus that was, free.
That was one of our biggest pet peeves. We would take so the media would fly with us.
Yeah.
So it would take us longer to get to the team plane after the games because, you know, we just played. You got to do, you know, all your stuff, your treatment. You got to shower, you get, you know, whatever. It takes you longer to get there. So by the time we would get to the plane, we would be the last ones on the plane. And, of course, media there first, all the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches gone. Like, they would raid all the food before we even got on the plane.
They had access to those sandwiches?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and who doesn't love them? I mean,
that's wild.
Peanut butter and jelly?
That's wild for a multitude of reasons.
What? Ray, right?
I know the media doesn't really fly with the teams anymore, but like the fact that they had access to the food For the players.
Well, if he were still playing with the Islanders now, the media ain't flying with him. Lou doesn't allow that. The media on the plane.
No, he does not.
That's insanity.
Because they took all the sandwiches.
Who needs the peanut butter sandwiches more? The players or the
Dude,
media?
Dude, they would smash all the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Media, you mean like the ones that, like the television crew, the radio crew, or like the writers even that cover the team?
No, like the radio, TV.
Like for the team, not just people.
For the team.
Okay, that's what I meant. Yeah,
but still, you'd come in, all you'd want after the game, because you get meals still, but you know, it'd be nice peanut butter and jelly.
Listen, it's not a thing for us because I don't travel. But if I would, I'd have had the decency, even if I was allowed, to not eat the players' food.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
What did you do? It's like, oh, well, you know, I played the game 60 minutes, all that equipment on, I'm tired, lost a lot of calories. What'd you do? I wrote 5,000 words. Ha ha.
You know how tired my fingers are right now?
Yeah, from typing the whole night long. Now, did you ever come up to one of them and be like, you know, I think, you know, we put in more work tonight. I'm a little bit hungrier than you are. And it strikes me as odd that you would go and eat all the sandwiches when we, the players, have nothing.
We had, don't get me wrong, we still had something. Like, we would still get meals after, like, they would bring out meals eventually, like hot meals. But everyone, for some reason, we all liked the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And there were no peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I don't remember. Maybe I might have, but I don't think I did. But some of the older guys were like, they would say to the flight attendants, like, hey, can we make sure that there's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches left for the players when we get on the plane?
And what do they say?
Really, like, eventually they figured it out, but still. Early on, peanut butter and jelly, couldn't find them.
Well, when I covered hockey, and I was in those rooms like immediately after the game, it didn't matter. The go-to was always pizza. Right? It seemed like everybody had pizza.
Yeah, early was my first couple years was always pizza.
It was, and that's, I think that's probably the last time I was in a dressing room for hockey. It was like your first couple of years. But it was always pizza. You go on the road team, boom, there'd be like stacks of pizza there, and that's what they'd be sitting there at their stalls, scarfing up some slices. But then you get on the plane, and then you got even more. A little bit of a different variety.
Yeah, you'd have a nice meal on the plane. All that changed, though, man. Like, first of all, we didn't get snacks. We had no direct deposit. We had no snacks. We had to buy our own snacks, and then eventually we end up getting snacks and everything else. But that whole, the pizza.
What, like with gummy bears and stuff?
No, like a pregame snack. Like, guys, like there would be other teams that had, like at the hotel, you'd have something set up where it was a pregame snack where you got to the rink and they had, you know, a room. Because a lot of these teams have meals at the facility now.
Yeah.
But they'd have a room. Like, you know, Sidney Crosby would eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before every game. They'd have, you know, bagel, whatever it was, oatmeal. We had none of that stuff.
I wouldn't eat oatmeal before a game. That ain't gonna sit well. Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
You never had any issues?
Well, not right before the game. You wake up from your nap, and before you caught the team bus, you'd have, I don't know, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you have a nice bowl of oatmeal. Maybe.
Oatmeal for lunch? Or like late lunch?
No, not a late lunch. You already had a humongous meal.
What the hell are you eating oatmeal for? That's almost like dinner time for some people. Oatmeal?
Well, dinner time for us is going to be 11. Well, this was a meal to carb up before you had to actually play in the game.
Ray, if you're playing hockey, you eating oatmeal like 2 hours before puck drop?
That's really pushing it.
Yeah,
I
don't think oatmeal.
You guys have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, no,
I know what I'm talking about.
It could be toast. It could be a bagel.
You've got to have energy. You need some carbs. I get it.
Oatmeal is slop.
Oatmeal's delicious.
It's just not that good.
If oatmeal's done right.
If oatmeal's done right. I mean, listen, just because you don't know how to make oatmeal, don't disparage oatmeal. So you'd have your pregame snack. You'd play. Maybe you'd sprinkle in a protein bar in between periods or whatever you wanted to do. And then by the time you ate dinner, it was probably 11 o'clock.
If you've seen what these poor guys look like at the ends of these games, man.
Oh, they look ravaged.
Like, look at the guys after the... a picture of these guys after they get through a playoff run, what they look like.
That's frowned down upon. That's invading their privacy.
Grotesque.
And access. Yeah.
Gross beards, all pale. Probably a little bit doughier than they were when they started the season.
You know, it's from the oatmeal.
It's unbelievable.
You got to stay away from the oatmeal.
Mentally just drained. I got a question, too, at some point I want to ask you about this whole Shohei Ohtani thing.
Why don't you just ask me now? I mean, what are we doing?
Well, I don't want to go all over the place.
Baseball.
Well, because we were talking NFL rules. I had the NFL rules all ready to go. Now you've pivoted to baseball.
Well, I mean, you got
all
the NFL rules all ready to go. You can get the NFL rules up anytime you want. But we're talking baseball.
I know. We got other important rules.
How about the fact that I broke a story yesterday, didn't get credit for it, which we'll get to a little bit later.
Well, we know because you have to add that to the group chat.
That's right.
Great job, Dan.
Well, thanks for my guys for sticking up for me, too. Especially you.
Well, I don't know if I had to stick up for you. You broke the news. I mean, you said it before it was announced by Schefter, or Schefter reported it.
We'll get to it later. Anyway, go ahead. What's your Ohtani thing?
We got Christmas football. I'm sure the NBA's pumped. Here's the question for the entire show. Not just you. I want Raymond and RJ's opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
Why would Ipe agree to do the 90-minute sit-down if he was guilty of stealing $4.5 million?
Well, how about did you see the latest thing from that Tisha Thompson? Who wrote the article for ESPN and who had the sit down with Ipe, that
she wanted now to find out from Otani's people if they've gone ahead and filed the charges for theft. No comment.
Well, he wasn't answering questions. Yeah, I mean, they did. But I'm asking you a serious question.
No, like, this is like for yesterday. Like, no comment. So they still won't even cop to that yet. So why are there, like, so many different sides of this story? When Otani's spoken and you hear his side, but yet his people won't even go along with what Otani said when he made it as if there was theft involved.
Well, yeah, or the other thing that doesn't add up is how is it that when Ipe addressed the team was the first time that Otani really realized what was going on?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, but why would you agree to do a 90-minute sit-down if you had stolen $4.5 million? You weren't going to get caught? They were going to be like, oh, that's a pretty good story. I'm just going to, yeah, Nate, good job. You stole the money. No problem. We'll move forward.
Well, as I said yesterday, too, like, why would you agree? You agreed to the sit-down. You did the interview. Otani's people set that whole thing up. And yet, they never let Otani know that this interview was happening? Wasn't Otani with Ipe in Korea when this all went down? But yet, Otani was the only one that was in the dark of this whole thing. It's like they keep him in the basement and don't let him up until it's time for batting practice. So he has no idea what's happening in the world.
Right. Sit-down was on Tuesday. Game was on Wednesday, correct?
Right.
Right. And they have video of him in the dugout with Ipe.
Correct.
Right. Everything seemed fine.
There's a lot going on here.
I could imagine if I stole $4.5 million that I would sit down for 90 minutes with ESPN and come up with some fakakta story, hoping that everyone would be on board with it.
Now you're beating your oatmeal instead. Yankees. Let's get to the calls. Ben in East Windsor up first here on 98.7 ESPN. Benjamin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Ben.
Hey Don, leave Rick alone about the oatmeal. Oatmeal's good.
Yeah, but are you eating that before you got to play a hockey game, like a couple of hours before?
It's 3 hours before the game.
It's a lot of protein, man. Protein.
Yeah, but there's a lot of other things in that protein, too. You know what? When you have an accident on the ice, don't say I didn't warn you. That's all I'm saying.
I got you.
Is oatmeal a diuretic?
It could be whatever the hell you want it to be, but I wouldn't eat it before a game. I mean something dry, all right?
So my concern is with Garrett Cole's injury. I just feel like they're taking too long here. Like, everybody keeps saying he's okay, there's no tear. So say he misses 5-6 starts, then he comes out, you know, has a start, they got him on a pitch limit or an innings limit, and then next thing you know, he's got the fatigue again, and then he goes down in August, then we don't have him for the playoffs, then he's going to Tommy John.
That's the worst-case scenario. What you just said is the worst-case scenario.
Worst case.
I mean, it's aiming in that direction. It feels that way to me, like, you know, outside looking in. And then my other concerns, there's two other concerns for the Yankees. Cabrera at third base makes me a little nervous. And then, you know, the walking glass house in Giancarlo Stanton. So, but that's it. Those were my concerns going into the season. I still think they're a good team offensively. The pitching scares me a lot. And the two other glaring things in my eyes is Cabrera playing third base and Stanton, who's leaner, but... You know, he can.
Yeah, but they're not. But Ben, they're not as reliant. They're not as reliant on Stanton this year, or they shouldn't be.
No, that's one plus I think we have. But you know, with LeMahieu going into the season already on the IL, we're losing a bat there. You know, you still want Stanton's bat if you can. I mean, Soto's incredible. We get him for a year. Hopefully, Hal decides to open the checkbook for him. But I just can't see it happening because he hasn't done it yet. And. But, yeah, that's my concern going into the season. I still think they're probably a 90-win team, but we're not in the same league as Baltimore or Tampa Bay. I mean, that's coming from a diehard Yankee fan.
You know what it is, Ben, and I thank you for the phone call, my friend. I think last year, if you're a Yankee fan, you faced your baseball mortality head on. You think that's fair?
Yeah, I guess.
No, because what I mean is you go into this season, and it was never like this, because the Yankees for so long, you know, they had the rich payroll. They had the talent. Now, though, you go into this season, and it's a little bit of an older group. It seems like and I bring it up again, it's almost like the Jets. Like, we're going to go into this Jets season, and you're relying on so many guys that have to stay healthy. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Tyron Smith, guys like, you know, big players on your team, they have to stay healthy. Same thing with the Yankees, right? Like, if these guys go down, you might be looking at a situation again like last year. And the situation that Ben just brought up with Garrett Cole, you should be scared. And none of us are doctors, but we have followed baseball long enough, Rick, to where we've seen a lot of these pitchers where they come down with an original issue with their arm, their elbow, whatever. And initially, surgery isn't recommended. There's no tear. They feel okay. They're going to try to rehab it and blah, blah, blah.
only to find out months down the line that they do have to go under the knife. And if that happens with Gerrit Cole, as you said, you could kiss this year goodbye, and then you could kiss next year goodbye. And where does that leave the Yankees?
Well, here's the problem, though, with that. And we had some sound from Buster Olney last
Buster
week.
Olney basically thinks he's going to have his arm amputated, yeah.
Well, yeah, for everyone he's talked to that's been through this says, yeah, there's no tear now. There's no Tommy John now, but this is, like you just said, this is headed down. At some point, he's going to need Tommy John from a guy that is a workhorse that doesn't ever miss a start. Like, that's the beauty of Gerrit Cole, is every fifth day he shows up and he's the best pitcher in baseball, or one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like, he's going to miss more than six starts this season. I don't know what you do, though. There's no tear. So there's nothing they can do, right? I mean, they put him on this rehab program. Hopefully the irritation calms down. He'll come back and he's fine. But it's not like they're going to be like, hey, you know, there's a real chance at some point this is gonna, you know, tear so we can fix it. Now, they can't do anything.
No. No, so you just got to let it play out.
Cross your fingers and hope that this, you know, the rehab strengthening, everything goes well. And he doesn't end up needing Tommy John. But if he comes back and they have to shut him down again and then he needs Tommy John and misses this season and next season, that's devastating.
You know what might be a good omen for the Yankees? You got two guys in their lineup with the initials AV, everyday players.
Okay.
What are the chances of that happening? Alex Verdugo, Anthony Volpe.
What are the chances of that happening? Probably not very good.
There you go. So I think the Yankees are going to win a championship this year just because of that. DJ LeMahieu, you got to hope he gets back into the lineup at some point. Aaron Boone said he's going to get another MRI, but here he is on the Talkin' Yanks pod about the latest with DJ.
As DJ started to do a little more baseball things, like, it still hasn't responded great this week. Like, the first several days after, you know, I noticed, like, just his gait walking in, it was improving. But then as he started to really move around, I know, even go out and take some ground balls, it's just not even where it needs to be. That's why we made the decision to just go ahead and IL him. And he knew that. So he's staying back in Tampa to continue to work, and we'll have to see. Again, it's not something that we're going to rush. And I think DJ's very much on board with all that he's dealt with from a foot standpoint here these last couple of years.
It's funny because your gait this morning, I noticed, was exemplary when you came walking in.
Which is surprising because my right wheel is just...
It's done?
A mess, yeah. Yeah, the right
can't be repaired, just, not fixed?
Well, I can get fixed. It's just I'm too lazy to go fix it. And it's just... It's not
well, you're
great.
Fooling people, though. It's working for you, though. So you should be commended about that. Let's say hi to Mark. He is in Monmouth. That is in New Jersey. And I got to get the mouse working. Hello, Mark. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You What's
know,
up, Mark?
We had the guy like one or two callers ago, and I'm a Yankee fan. We called Giancarlo Stanton a walking glass house. So should we call Aaron Judge Casper the Friendly Ghost? Because when big spots come, why don't you go look at his numbers? All right. How about
the postseason?
Have been good. Mid to late. How about the stats in mid to late July last year when the Yankees were on a little run for the deadline when they went to Tampa and he went 0-for-13 with 9 strikeouts?
Well, he was coming back from that foot injury, though.
Yeah, you know, that's really great. I mean, he gets paid $30-something million. I mean, this guy gets every excuse in the book, and I don't understand because he's had two healthy seasons in his whole career. So, I mean, who says he's already had an oblique?
They were great seasons, though.
Spring training.
Mark, they were great seasons.
You're paying for the highs, yeah, Mark. That's what it is.
So you pay for the highs, yeah, but you also have to be available. So are you getting Aaron Judge this year? Like, do you think Aaron Judge is playing 150 games this year? What do you think?
No, definitely not. Especially this day and age, that, you know, with load management so pervasive as it is in sports, Yankees are going to operate with kid gloves with Judge because they realize the best chance they have of winning is when you have Judge out there more often than not.
Well, you saw that last year, what this offense looked like without Aaron Judge. I think right now he gets the benefit of the doubt because these aren't like soft tissue injuries. It's not like, hey, we can't let this guy run from first to second hard because he's going to pull a hamstring. It's he goes crashing into a wall and there's a cement block he smashes his foot into, or it's he dives for a ball and ends up cracking a rib. But at a certain point, like, it, you're just the guy who gets injured a lot. Doesn't matter what kind of injury it is, right? Soft tissue, it could be whatever it is. Just the He gets hurt a lot, and they're going to try to manage him through this season. A lot of these really good teams, though, they got guys that play every day, man.
Yeah, it's a rarity. You know, it's kind of throwback, and you'd like to see it, but it's not going to be the case with the Yankees. You're talking about a guy who's, you know, I don't want to say he's injury prone, but somebody that you have to keep tabs on if you want to get the best baseball out of him for the length of the contract, and it is indeed a lengthy one. Hey, the DNR pregame party is back. Show is heading out to Publicans again in Manhasset on Long Island on Thursday, May 2nd, then riding the LIRR to Citi Field for the second annual pregame party ahead of Mets Cubs before going into the game at 1:10 p.m. and sitting in section 129. That's Thursday, May 2nd at Publicans in Manhasset, then right to Citi Field. We will see you there. More of your baseball conversation. We'll get into the NFL rules as well. Plus, we got Stump Gross and Company, DNR 98.7 ESPN. And now word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? Well, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn, guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.